Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. It's the great debate, but it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line. And remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be down at zero or no one will understand either of us. And I'll have to move on, I'm afraid. SMS is 44780008066. Send them in. You can email me too at comment@presstv.co.uk. Now, it's been a very, very bad week for Saudi Arabia. There are reports that King Abdullah is clinically dead and has been since Wednesday. He's rarely been seen in public of late. I myself have met him on two occasions, and it looks like the 89-year-old monarch has shuffled off this mortal coil, at least if Saudi journalists based in London for a Saudi-owned newspaper, Sharq al-Awsat, are to be believed, and I know that quite often they are not. But 89 years old with his half-brothers, all now in great advanced age and in decaying health, it's a very real crisis for Saudi Arabia as demonstrations mount across the country because of the dictatorial, brute authoritarianism of the state and its sectarian character. Just in the last few days, a Shiite cleric from Saudi Arabia has been charged with espionage. The Shiite minority population in the eastern province of the country is routinely and brutally repressed. But there are many other fissures also inside the state. Unemployment is massive. Poverty, believe it or not, in a country as rich as Saudi Arabia, expanding exponentially. All sorts of public services that were once free are now non-existent or are having to be paid for. And the extremist strand of much of the ideology of the state was brought further into disrepute this week when a celebrity cleric pled guilty to raping and killing his own five-year-old daughter. He paid blood money and therefore was not executed. It's hard to know to whom he paid the blood money, as he was the father of the five-year-old girl. Apparently, he paid it to the girl's mother, his wife. You couldn't make it up, but it happened this week in Saudi Arabia. We're also talking this evening, of course, about the state they call Israel, which has just announced another 1,000 illegal housing units in occupied Jerusalem. In the eastern part of the city, which has been illegally annexed and which absolutely no one in the world has raised a finger to stop. On the contrary, Israel was visited by the United States Secretary of State, as well as the Defense Secretary, just in the last few days. The red carpet is always there for the state they call Israel, which, of course, in recent weeks has been regularly attacking and bombing its neighbor, Syria, part of whose territory, of course, it has illegally occupied and annexed since 1967, 45 or more years ago. Which brings us, of course, to Syria, which has itself been the dominating story, not just in international affairs, not just in Middle East affairs, but in domestic news also, because Britain has taken upon itself the role more or less of belligerent-in-chief on behalf of the al-Qaeda-dominated so-called Syrian rebel force. You remember those? The ones that cut people's chests open and cut out their hearts and eat them on video whilst chanting the name of God. The people who defile the tombs of companions of the prophet. Can you imagine? They defiled the tomb of a companion of the prophet. They dug him up. They tossed his bones around like rags, a man who had kissed the cheek of the prophet himself. And these people tell you they are an Islamic revolution. Sectarian gangsterism, madness is what it truly is. Now, whilst William Hague, on behalf of Britain, and the French foreign minister were wrecking a summit of European Union countries on the subject of the arms embargo imposed upon Syria in order that Britain and France could unilaterally begin supplying even more weapons than have been procured so far by virtue of the money of Saudi Arabia and Qatar, Russia decided to take an action which it said would dissuade any hotheads who had ideas of bombing Syria. The Russians decided to sell Syria their very sophisticated and powerful anti-aircraft missile batteries, part of which have already arrived to the Syrian front. And indeed, it makes the prospect of a British and French Air Force attack on Syria more or less null and void. And because these batteries, these missiles, have a range of more than 100 miles, they make it impossible for Israel to bomb Syria again, too. Unless, of course, we really are in for World War III. These are our topics this evening. William from Southampton is the first on the line, and he wants to talk about Israel. Welcome to the show, William. Go ahead, sir.
George, it's a pleasure to finally speak to you.
Thank you.
I'm an avid listener of your Talk Sports show.
Ah, yes, a fond memory.
Indeed, indeed. Although I'm not overly well-schooled in politics, George, I do occasionally watch the TV, and as we all know, things are fairly bad. And what I'd just like to say is you're a man of integrity. I respect you, and it's a shame others don't listen to you as much as perhaps they should do. In regards to Israel, I think Israel needs to look at what it is and what it's doing. You know, they always say to us, we should never forget certain things that happened in the past. When they themselves, as a nation and a government, are committing certain acts which would be merited as war crimes against certain individuals, I won't go into too many details. I'm sure you're aware of what it is that I'm saying. But it needs to be stopped. Something needs to be done. And that's all I really have to say, George.
Well, it's very kind of you, William, in Southampton. Your comments were touching, and I thank you for them. And you're right to say that something needs to be done, unless you imply that nothing is being done at the moment. In fact, William, it's worse than that. The opposite is happening. Plenty is being done at the moment. Every bullet, every missile, every airplane, every ship, every tank, every soldier's salary, with which and with whom so-called Israel commits these crimes against the Palestinian people, is being paid for by somebody else. And that somebody else is principally the United States of America, the tail of which dog we in Britain are, but also by the decisions of the European Union to treat Israel as if it were a European Union country. But of course, it's not in Europe. It's not in the European Union. And to be in the European Union, you have to meet certain standards of human rights and democracy, none of which Israel meets. It is our crime that Israel is involved in committing, not least because historically, of course, as you'll know, we are the author here in Britain of the entire Palestinian tragedy. Suhail's on the line from Palestine, from Gaza, on Israel. Suhail, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Mr. George.
Good evening. Assalamu alaikum. Go ahead.
Happy to hear your voice. How are you, Mr. George?
Alhamdulillah. By the grace of God, I'm good and happy to be speaking to Gaza again. It's been some time since I've been there.
I'm sorry, my English not good. But now we are without any, no light. I talk with you on my mobile, no light. No, ma fiš kahraba.
What's happened to the light?
No light. You know, baby, I'm sorry, my English not good to you. Mr. George, our problem back again for 1943, when was the government of the British in Palestine with my father, when he was 10 years, now he is 8 years.
Indeed, it's a long tragedy, Sohail, and as I just said, actually, it was Britain who authored this disaster. I won't call it a tragedy, actually, because that implies there's something natural or somehow accidental about it. It was a crime that Britain committed, and it's a crime that Britain continues to be culpable in. And your father has spent more than 70 years as the victim of that crime. I salute you, Sohail, and all my friends in Gaza. I don't know why the lights are off. After all, we have a Muslim Brotherhood government in Egypt. The lights should never be out in Gaza again. No doubt I'll hear later in the show why they're out. Sohail, thanks for the call. Doreen is on the line from Canada, British Columbia, to be precise, on the subject of Israel. Doreen, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Oh, well, first of all, George, I'd like to thank you for being the voice of the children of Gaza.
Thank you, Doreen.
And the children that are caught in this conflict in Syria, these little children, they are so innocent, and the world is united. They're not even doing anything. People seem to let Israel do anything. I have written to our Prime Minister, Harper, a number of times and said, when I grew up in the UK, and I asked my parents when I found out about the Holocaust, I said, how come the people of the world allowed this thing to happen to the Holocaust? And my parents, they couldn't answer me. And I don't want my grandchildren to say to me, Grandma, what did you do to stop this genocide to the Palestinian children? I don't want that to happen. So I emailed Harper and I've written to him and asked him, when I emigrated to Canada 48 years ago from the UK, this used to be a great country for peacekeepers, well known for the great peacekeepers of the world. Since Harper's been in there, he seems to have got buddy-buddy with the Zionists, and they just don't want to do anything. Nobody seems to want to help those people in Palestine, only you, George, and it's sad.
Well, you and me, Doreen, you and me, and millions of others. I have traversed Canada north, south, right up to Yellowknife in the north, from British Columbia to Toronto, and all over the country. And I know that there are many, many fine people in Canada who simply cannot understand why the Harper government has reduced their state to being effectively an embassy for the most extreme Israeli political formations. It's possible, I suppose, to be more Catholic than the Pope, but it's hard to be more Netanyahu than Netanyahu. But Harper and co. have definitely done it. Doreen, wonderful call. How wonderful to hear that voice from British Columbia in Canada. Let's go now to Tehran, to Ahmed, to talk about Saudi Arabia. Ahmed, welcome back to the show. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, dear George, and good evening.
Good evening.
You know that, George, you know that on behalf of Iranian, when you talk about the Saudi Arabia, we cannot forget what happened about more than 30 years ago in this country. You know that the holy land of Saudi Arabia, I mean Hijaz, is a holy land for all Muslims, and especially in Mecca, any bloodshed is strongly prohibited by Islam. And by any means, I mean, during the history, I mean, even some cruel rulers of the during the history has didn't do any crime in this land. But about 34 years ago, when the Iranian Hajis were demonstrating against the United States as a religious program of the Hajj. We call it Bara'at Min al-Mushrikeen. Then they slaughtered more than 300 Iranians in cold blood, and they proved to all mankind that whenever the interests of the Americans and other imperialists is in danger, even they do not care about these issues. But at the moment, I guess that even the Saudis do not trust Americans, because after what happened to Mubarak, what happened to Ben Ali, what happened to Gaddafi and other dictators, they have figured out that the Americans are not any more trustful for them. But they are in a halt because they have no other way out. You know that everybody knows that there is a very huge and subtle power struggle among the Saudi princes. So I want to ask, and I want to know your opinion, that what do you anticipate, what do you foresee, the era of after this king? And we know that in their constitution, I mean, there is a very interesting constitution that says only the sons of one person, I've forgotten the name.
Suderi, Suderi.
Only the sons of that king can become a new king, you see? So yeah. All the brothers are now
it's a very good call. It's a very good call, Ahmad. Let me deal with it because I have a lot of people on the line. The Suderi seven, that's seven from the same mother, Suderi mother, are the people along whom the line horizontally the throne has to pass. But of course, we're fast running out of those, and they are all extremely old and infirm. It's not clear if that is going to be able to continue as a line for two reasons. One, the obvious line of age and infirmity, but two, because the vast majority of the people of Arabia totally reject the corrupt nature of their rulers. It's a very important point, Ahmad, which I appeal to everyone watching this to pay heed to. The great people of Arabia should not be judged by the rulers who came to power by the sword that they have. 30,000 princes frolicking in foreign places, fornicating, gambling, frequenting bordellos, gambling in the casinos of London and elsewhere, blowing their country's money on mountains of useless weapons that they can never use, have no means or ability to use, but which are merely a means of paying protection money to the Western countries that sold them the weapons in the first place. All of that is going to come to an end, if not with the demise of this king, which may already have taken place, then sometime soon, because there are millions of great people in Arabia. If I tell you that of the 250,000 people who follow me on Twitter and Facebook, one of the biggest country contributions to that figure of 250,000 is in Saudi Arabia. In Riyadh, I have almost as many followers as I have in London. People watch this show in Arabia in very large numbers, and they write to me whenever they safely can do so. So revolution is coming to Arabia. It won't be called Saudi Arabia for very much longer, in my view, because it's a holy place, because it's a place of massive religious importance to billions of people in the world. It deserves better than the governance that it's had from this Al Saud corrupt, kleptocratic, corpulent, and now dying dynasty. Brian is on the line in London. He wants to talk about Syria. Brian, welcome.
George.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to explain about the Syrian crisis. Why the Syrians don't listen to their president rather than following international body that try to destabilize their country? Why they can't look at what is going on in Iraq?
Exactly. Syria is becoming another Iraq.
They said they are going to bring democracy in Iraq, rather than they brought their bombs, killing innocent people every day and every night.
Yeah. And the same people who opposed the invasion and occupation of Iraq are calling on John McCain. Imagine, John McCain, Israel's best friend in the entire world, was this very week fraternizing with kidnappers, head choppers, heart eaters on behalf of the United States of America. The same people who cursed others for not opposing the invasion and occupation of Iraq strongly enough are now demanding the same powers should invade and occupy Syria. You really couldn't make it up, Brian. Niall's on the line in the north of Ireland, where I'll be soon at the G20 demonstrations in June. He wants to talk about Syria. Niall, welcome to the show.
Cheers, George. I'm actually in the Republic of Ireland, not the UK.
Ah, okay. It says the north of Ireland here. Up the Republic. Go ahead, Niall.
In the Republic, indeed. George, I just want to talk about Syria and, all of that what has been happening over the last between 48 and 72 hours. In particular, the wider aspect of the whole war, the geopolitical aspect. I think, right now, George, we are living in a once-in-a-several-decade sequential series of events that are about to occur. First of all, it's Saudi Arabia and what is happening there with the dying king and the monarchy there in trouble. And secondly, George, is I think things are coming to a head between the Shia and the Sunni Muslims in the Levant, in Syria, in Lebanon, overall in the Middle East. What's going on right now, I think, is that Hezbollah and the Al-Nusra Front, Al-Qaeda, are in a death match at the moment. And whoever emerges from this war at the moment could emerge as the overall victor. We've seen Israel has threatened Syria. Israel has also threatened Russia if it brings the F-300 missiles to Syria.
That's what you call chutzpah, Niall.
It is indeed. It is indeed. It's hard to believe that they would do it. And also the fact that, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Israel and the West desperately want to knock out Syria so they can isolate Hezbollah. And that's why there's so much at stake here.
Well, look, Niall, you're right in this regard. They desperately want to knock out Syria, but that's not going to be possible. The military tide has turned against the Al-Qaeda-dominated Syrian opposition. The conference that's going to be held in Geneva is being held precisely because the military tide has turned. The United States has dropped its demand, its precondition, for the departure of the Syrian president before any political process can begin. The seven-year term of the Syrian president ends next year. He will be the president at least until the end of that term. The Hezbollah are now engaged in the war. They are more than capable of defeating the ragbag army of Al-Qaeda, as you'll see in the next days and weeks. So everything has begun to turn. It's been a major defeat for the front of Israel, Britain, France, the United States, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar. It's not over yet. It's not the beginning of the end, but it's past the end of the beginning. And the final defeat of this attempt to destroy Syria is now on the horizon and within grasp. That doesn't mean that things should go back in Syria to where they were. We need a democratic transition in Syria. We need free and fair elections in Syria. That's what President Bashar al-Assad has promised, and the world will surely keep him to that promise. That's why Geneva is so very important. We're talking about the future of Saudi Arabia, whose king may be dead. We're talking about Israel, as always, and we're talking about the events in Syria. God willing, I'll be back after the news with the second half of Comment here on Press TV. I promise you, you don't want to miss it. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. It's the big conversation, of course. It's the great debate, too. And if you want to join in, the contact details are being given on the screen now. We're talking about so-called Saudi Arabia, where the king is effectively dead. According to Saudi journalists based in London, in the newspaper Asharq al-Awsat, the king died on Wednesday. And a crisis will now ensue because all of the contenders for the throne are themselves in their 80s. The dead king, if he is dead, is 89 years old. And not only are they very old, they are very, very infirm. They haven't led the healthiest of lifestyles, if you get what I mean. And this recalls, of course, the former leader of the country that they call Israel, General Ariel Sharon, the butcher of Beirut and many other places. He too went into a vegetative state and is still, so far as I know, alive, although a mere fraction of his former self, at least physically. It's as if God was punishing him by keeping him from death for so very long. The Saudis may try to do the same, given the nature, the brute dictatorial nature of their state. They may be able to hide the king away for a very long time, with others taking up the reins. But they will not be able to cancel, merely postpone, the governance crisis which exists in their country, which has gone from riches to rags for millions of their people, which has gone to rack and ruin so far as its economy is concerned. All that oil, all that gas has been wasted, spent on the casinos, the gambling tables of London and elsewhere, spent in the arms bazaars, spent in the bordellos, spent in property in Marbella and all over the world. The glory days of the Al Saud family are coming to an end, and revolution cannot be far behind. In Israel, as I said, where Sharon lies in a vegetative state, the crimes of the new Israeli rulers continue. Another 1,000 houses are to be built in occupied Jerusalem, annexed Jerusalem, illegally annexed Jerusalem. Is the world raising its voice against this further crime, against international law, as well as against God and against the people of Palestine? Not a bit of it. They're concentrating on Syria, as so many others are. Those very same dictatorships in the Persian Gulf, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and others, are pouring money, men, and material into the destruction of Arab Syria. At least that's what they hoped. They're bringing about murder and mayhem and the eating of people's hearts on video, for sure. And they can go on doing that for a very long time. But the military tide has turned, and the political tide is turning too. At least that's my point of view. Give me yours. Aaron has. He's on the line from Nigeria. Wants to talk about that very subject. Aaron, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, good evening, George.
Good evening. Go ahead.
God bless you, George.
Thank you, sir.
I am I'm a regular listener to your program, and many a times I like to call you, but when I listen to where you talk, I'm always satisfied.
Thank you.
And I pray that God will increase people like you who love truth, who love freedom across the globe. Today, I am very happy. And the reason is that the Russian government have decided to supply the Assad government and Syrian X-300 sophisticated missile to defend themselves against this British government, this imperialist people who think they own this world.
Yeah.
Every time I am pressed with anger, feeling helpless, how they butchered Gaddafi in Africa, where our own African leaders in the EU, we are like limp dog looking, surrendering Gaddafi to them to be butchered when he was killed. And now they move to Syria. When I look at Assad today, when he was granted that interview, I felt sorry for the Arab people who are like the Africans themselves. How could they have allowed these people to manipulate them, to teach them a wrong way that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, never taught them, and they became lazy? But in all this, Mr. George, when I read on the screen that the Russians have decided to help the Syrians to defend themselves against Israeli aggression, I will tell you live, Mr. George, I am happy tonight.
Well, thank you, Aaron, and thank you for a powerful call and your kind words. And you're right. It's very clear that Russia will not allow Syria to be destroyed. David's on the line from Milton Keynes, wants to talk about Israel. David, welcome.
Hello, George. Good evening.
Good evening again, sir. Welcome.
Yes, that's your good friend, Mr. David Kankambo, George. I'm the founder, president, Africa Youth for Progress.
Okay.
We listen to you every time, and we want to say we have our site on Facebook. We tell your listeners to check us there and like our page.
George, thanks.
We are in solidarity with the children, the youth, and the people of Palestine. In fact, Israel should understand that the world was against what the Adolf Hitler, what he did to the Israelis. If Adolf Hitler was doing whatever he did to Israelis and the world was against it, what we do not understand is that why the Israelis have turned around with America and United Kingdom killing the youth, children, and women of Palestine. We can see very clear this has got nothing to do with Islam. When you kill your brother, it's got nothing to do with religion. We saw one of the so-called freedom fighters in Syria killing and eating his own brother's heart in the name of freedom fighting. Is it freedom fighting? This is absolute madness.
It is.
We are totally against them.
It is, David. Madness is really the only word for it, I think. Let me go on to Hassan, who is in Australia, where I will also be next month, speaking in Sydney. Hassan's on the line. He stayed up till 5 o'clock in the morning to make this call. I'm sure it's going to be worthwhile. Hassan, welcome.
Salaam alaikum, Mr. Galloway.
Alaikum salam. I hope to see you in Sydney next month.
Yes, yes. Iraq versus Australia.
Go on, sir.
In the football.
All right. Okay. Go on.
Yep. Yeah. I'll go on. I just want to talk about the Syrian crisis and what I believe. It's about the pipeline that was from Pakistan to Iran to Iraq to Syria, and they were going to use the Syrian port to export gas internationally through the Suez Canal in Egypt. So this is why Egypt is not really expressing their thoughts on the Syrian civil war, because they stood to gain from this gas transportation that would have fed into the Qatari and Israeli monopoly currently being controlled in the region. And secondly, I just want to talk about the Saudi Virgin Hyenas that converged on Damascus during the years of 2004 to 2011, where they were using Iraqi women, young, old, and mothers. And guess where they are right now? They've moved to Amman in Jordan, where now they're using Saudi and buying them for marriage back to the Gulf for $3,000. This is unbelievable.
Well, actually, it's even worse than that, Hassan. Very large numbers of them, both in Turkey and in Jordan, are paying $100 to marry girls for a few hours and then leaving them. Some of them, of course, therefore pregnant. They are prostituting the refugee women of Syria. And these Persian Gulf monarchies, which have all the money that they need to gamble and speculate their own lives away, and who are giving plenty of money for weapons to destroy Syria, are giving virtually nothing to the livelihood of the people who have had to flee from Syria and who are living in indescribably poor conditions. All those friends of Syria, their friendship doesn't extend to protecting the refugees and particularly the women of Syria in these camps. Thanks, Hassan. Good luck with the football. David's on the line from California. He wants to talk about Israel and Syria. David, welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, George. I'm calling you from Los Angeles, actually, and I have less than a minute, some comments about my own personal conclusion of the whole ordeal that's going on in the Middle East for the past 7 years. And I would like to quickly bring it to your attention and get your comment afterwards.
Okay.
My comments basically refer to the government and their supporters, but definitely not all the people. Land belongs to the people who have been born there and the ones who have migrated there legally. Allocating land based on race, religion, ethnicity and color or some fictional claim in books written and revised numerous times over the past thousands of years is pure racism, which derives from the West history. Hypocrisy is norm among the axis of evil, which I call US, UK, Israel, France, and etc., part of EU, Zionists. This can be proven by their support of the most cruel dictatorships such as Saudi, Bahrain, Jordan, UAE, Kuwait, Qatar, Egypt, and Yemen, and Pakistan, and fake devilish support of the opposition minorities and division in other countries to magnify division and turmoil to divide and conquer. Axis of evil with the history of slavery, racism, colonialism, send arms to Syrian opposition, killing hundreds of thousands of people to support Al-Qaeda, which was created and trained by the Axis of Evil intelligent agencies, CIA, MI5, Mossad in 1980s, while devilishly calling them freedom fighters. Once these terrorists are brought to power by the Axis of Evil, then they are considered enemies and terrorists to support Axis of Evil invasion of sovereign nations, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen, to occupy and steal their wealth to serve the Zio corporate imperialist capitalism axis of evil. This fact is proven by U.S. Senate approving arming Syrian al-Nusra, al-Qaeda under the false claim and pretext of supporting freedom and democracy. This is hypocrisy, not democracy.
Indeed, David, a good point to halt you on, because I could tell that you still had several pages to read, but you'll have to forgive me. There are many, many people trying to get on. Very good call, though, from sunny California. Let's go to Zachary, I think, in Nigeria, on Syria and Israel. Go ahead, brother.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Mr. George, good evening.
Good evening, sir. Go ahead.
Please, I want to find out what is really worrying me is the position of U.S. in the world. Hello?
Yeah, Zachary, we're going to need to move on because you've got the television on in the background and it makes it impossible. Put your volume down at zero and we'll get back to you. Okay, I did say that at the beginning of the show and I'm going to have to be more ruthless about it now. Saeed is on the line from Ireland, on Syria. Saeed, welcome to the show.
Hello, it's Saeed. Thanks, Mr. George.
Welcome, sir. Go ahead.
I want to thank the Russian government to support the Syrian government, because no one in the world, everybody just silent. They're seeing a lot of people dying every blessed day. No one comment, no one want to support the Syrian government, no one, especially the Muslim country, like Kuwait, all the remaining countries, they don't support them. It's only Syria. They're not Muslim. They support them. See, the Muslims, they are all panic because of the American and British government, because they're supporting the rebel to fight the government.
Well, look, these rulers in the Persian Gulf are belly dancing for the very people who used to colonize them and who now are entertained by them. They're cutting people's heads off and cutting open their chests and eating their hearts in a kind of belly dance for the rulers of the Crusader countries. It's despicable, it's inexplicable, but it has not succeeded, Saeed. That's the particularly important point that I want to emerge from this evening. Of course, they can go on wreaking havoc and creating murder and mayhem in Syria, but it's now abundantly clear that they have not succeeded and are not going to succeed. Now, let's hear from Nuraza from Germany, who is ethnically a Malaysian, and I don't get many Malaysians on the line. Nuraza, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Galloway. Thanks for letting me speak again.
You're welcome. Yeah? Go ahead.
Yes, and unfortunately, I want to tell that Press TV is still being censored on Germany cable news. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I think we should what do you call it? More should be done to analyze urgently the racist and supremacist aggressive Christian Zionism movement, because it's a tool being used by the CIA, like Western imperialism. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To mobilize the mass movement of generally peaceful, loving Christians and converts to Christianity, towards being brainwashed into believing in predatory and aggressive warmongering hatred towards Islam, Muslims, and indigenous Palestinians of both Muslims and Christians. So, because, you know, I've been thinking, because, you see, I'm, to be honest with you, I am a convert. I was a convert to Christianity, yeah. And I was seduced by a Christian Zionism movement, and you know, it's very, what do you call it? It's very dangerous. And they so because this is not just happening in the Middle East, that started from Iraq to Libya, now Syria, and will be in Lebanon and Iran, but they will also they're moving to for example any Islamic rule countries or land, including Malaysia, Indonesia, southern Thailand, southern Philippines. And in Malaysia right now, there's increasing hatred towards indigenous Muslims, the Malays, for example. And this has nothing to do, when I think more about it, it has to do with this Christian Zionist movement, because they are infiltrating the opposition movement.
Well, look, thanks, Nuraza, for that insight. I don't entirely share your analysis of Malaysia, but maybe it's a subject we need to look at more closely. By the grace of God, you've seen the light in any case. Aidan is on the line in London on Syria. He's always worth hearing. Aidan, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me back.
Welcome.
Yeah. What exactly was the Zionist Minister for Deaf trying to imply when he said Israel will know what to do if Syria orders the S-300 missile system from Russia?
Well, he was openly threatening to attack Russian assets, and that's very, very unwise. I don't think that they will do it. A subsequent briefing from the government of so-called Israel said, well, we won't attack Russian material because our egos are big, but they're not that big. So maybe at least somewhere in the occupied Palestine, the so-called Israeli state has some sense left, because we'd be into World War III if that were to happen.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't the West know that every time the Zionist enemy makes open threats against Assad, support for the rebels in Syria becomes polluted in the Muslim world?
Well, I wonder if the extremists who are giving their blood and taking the blood of so many in this conflict have any perception of how it can be that a revolution supported by Israel, by John McCain, by Britain and France can possibly be a revolution. You know, Emma Goldman told Lenin at the time of the Bolshevik Revolution. If I can't dance, I don't want to be part of your revolution. Well, if these people are with the Syrian revolution, how can anybody else be with it? That's the point, Aidan. Great to hear from you again. I must press on because Abdul Salam is on the line from Saudi Arabia about Israel. Abdul Salam, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, George.
Alaikum salam.
Great to see you in this evening. You are very bright in George, and I saluted you, George.
Thank you, brother. Go ahead.
George, I wonder why we Muslims, I wonder why Muslims keep on silent on this Palestine. Always this Palestine. Now, you know, George, this Palestine now, when you watch as Palestine, because of this kind of conflict in Syria, now people forget about the Palestine.
Yeah.
And they are harming, they are always day and night killing Muslims, killing innocent people. George, it's only you can let us know that what is going in Palestine. And George, may God bless you on that always.
Oh, Allah.
Keep on praying for you, George. May God give us handed of you, George.
Thank you.
But Palestine needs free. We want this world. Obama should stand on what he promised before he was elected. He promised to bring Palestine, to give them a peace, to give them a state. So we never forget and we always comment on that through you, George. Thank you very much, George.
God bless you. Thanks, Abdul Salam. You see, typical of the great people who are in Arabia and who should never be confused with the dictators who rule over them. Dictators who, it was revealed this week, are actually giving Saudi Arab Muslim money to Israel's Mossad to carry out its murder and sabotage campaign against the Islamic Republic of Iran. You couldn't make it up. Let's talk to Blaise in Paris on Syria. Blaise, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much for what you people are doing. I'm so touched for Press TV, and this issue of Syria is touching me a lot because I'm an African, and I live in Paris, and this issue of army rebels. We have been suffering about it in Africa, you know. The armed rebels in Ivory Coast, the armed rebels in Congo, people are suffering today in Congo. The same issue happening today in Syria, and I want the world.
Indeed, Blaise, why would Britain and France want to supply arms to Africa or to the Middle East for a good reason? The two countries that looted and ruled and raped both Africa and the Middle East for so very long. I've got to squeeze in Faraj in London on Syria. Faraj, you're the last caller. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, George. How do you do?
Go ahead, sir, quickly.
Just the one thing, man. As I meet an Iranian man, and I'm living in London, I would like to say to my government in Iran to please don't let any Arab dictators in the Persian Gulf country to think about the Iran, because we have a bad experience on that countries who were suffering Saddam Hussein for 8 years as the king, Saudi Arabia's king. He paid $28 billion to Saddam Hussein.
Down with kings, down with emirs, down with all the dictators. That's what I say, Faraj. If you want more of this, you'll need to come back next week. Until then, may God go with you.
Hello, just comment on your name and location with that number. And just make sure that your television volume is set up to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. And actually, we'll put your email directly through this. Your phone number, and then we'll be back. Comment.
Can I do it?